What a joy to greet you again in the wonderful name of Jesus. The one that we were reminded already tonight that is coming again. And that is a blessed hope for the child of God. Has been through history and still is. When I thought of the priorities of I'm not too quick at switching messages at the spur of the movement, but I thought maybe I should. When I heard, I think most of these two young men up front here said they both got a deer tonight, today. You did? Oh, I thought you said you got a deer. Where was the fellow? Was there another one? Oh, back there. You look alike. Yeah, are you brothers? Okay, sorry about that inconvenience there for you, but honor where honor is due. But I had to think I should have maybe switched an account of have a message on pride. You know, yeah, those things can affect young lives already too, not just older ones. But I'll let you off the hook tonight. But I talked with TJ this morning or this afternoon and said, so is he going hunting tonight again? He said, no. Oh, okay. He's going to go to church. I said, well, that's good. And that depends a lot on parents, you know, tonight, of where you're focused, of whether you're focused on eternity. And I don't know if anybody's hunting here tonight or from your congregation or not. I don't want to know. But I will encourage every young man that's here that if you are present when there's worship service, the Lord will bless the rest of the things according. I'm convinced of that tonight. Deer hunting and all of those things are fleeting. Like the brother mentioned in devotions tonight, that's nothing, you know, to get a deer finally, two or three or four, whatever you're allowed down here, I don't know. But, you know, but when there's a service in your home congregation, you should be there. I mean, that should be the heartbeat of all of us tonight. Forget about the deer. Forget about your work and those things. I mean, there's a time, person is sick. The good Lord knows all those things. But I encourage you, when the word is preached in your congregation, be there. Be there. Not because I'm there, you know, but because you love to be where God's people are. And you're part of the congregation here. Be part of it. Let your heart beat together. Because this is where we get fed from the word of God. Enough of that. Well, anyway, the brother talked about eternity. Got a call this afternoon from at home, and they said a friend of ours died, 102 years old. Last Sunday I was in their congregation, and he came up to me. He said he couldn't see really too well who's up there, but he knew my voice, and he said, praise God for the word. You know, mine was still clear. A couple hours later, I got a message that I was supposed to preach at his funeral. On Wednesday, I guess. So no lingering around down here too long. But, you know, that's time. Not all of us will get to be 102. Likely very few, you know. Very few. But be ready. Be ready. Courtship is the title of my message tonight. And I'd like to say, is anybody courting here tonight? One, two, okay, you have some married people too. Okay, now let's get just the singles yet, those that aren't married at all. I like that. That's good. Okay, now let's get to those that haven't married and are courting. One, and one, two, okay, three, four, okay, wonderful. Lord bless you in that. Tonight I will sear in some on you. Yes, some of those that, I could maybe ask the question, how many would like to be courting? No, I won't be that rude. But that is, that's no wrong desire to be, desire to court, you know. That's a God-given instinct in a person. But tonight, we'll look at courtship, and I trust I'll include all of you again by the time it's over. Courtship is a wonderful time for a man and a woman who have given preeminence to Jesus Christ as Lord of their life, a time when they come together and they seek the will of God. And this is more than a mouth testimony, but it is shown by your life and by your actions in courtship. If you would have, if I would ask any couple, in fact, I'm going to do this to you both. Are you? Is this the one for over here, or is yours okay? Do you want your marriage to last? If that would be your, if you come to that decision in life, would, is that what you'd like for it to be? A lasting marriage, yes. And I guarantee you, I could go to every person in the world tonight that wasn't courtship or whatever they did in calling that, that they would say they want their marriage to last. The most ungodliest couple, you know, desired to have their marriage to last, which is good. And if that is true, then why not start out right so you have a chance of ending right? And tonight, that is so important. And I begin, I have a burden for this message, and I have a burden for youth, and I have a burden for each one that is in courtship, and that your courtship can be kept in such a way that you have started out right, that with that right starting out, you have the hope of also ending right. We're living in very perilous times, dear people, tonight. Let's go to the Word of God. The wise man Solomon wrote so many words. And I'd like to just skip through here a little bit. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Just to get our attention. And when it says, my son here, you can also say, my daughter, as it were, tonight. It says in verse 8 of chapter 1, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Down to verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In verse 15, my son, walk thou not in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Going on to Proverbs 2:1, it says here, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And also in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father his son in whom he delighteth. And now verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 4, verse 3 to 10, verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Down to verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Proverbs 5, verse 1, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Proverbs 6, verse 1, it says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. Down to verse 3, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. And verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Proverbs, I'll cease there. And I don't know why Solomon wrote this, but he had a heartbeat. Do we get the message tonight? There is a heartbeat that he had for his son. He said, my son, my daughter tonight, I have a burden here on me that I'd like to get across to you. And you, we read those verses, you know, keep my commandments, follow God, as it were, have a close relationship with God. And I don't know, as Solomon looked out over his life, in his life, as he looked out over all what he accomplished and accumulated and wealth to no end, And he said over and over again, vanity of vanities. It's all fleeting. It's like sand in your hand, as it were. It's rolling through and I can't keep it. And I'm heading towards eternity. He had all the wives in the world. Was going through his hand and eternity was staring into him. And it seems with that kind of a setting, he was saying, my son, don't do as I did. You know, do something better that is lasting. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. All the things that this world had to offer, I was good at. I had knowledge, I had wisdom, I had the whole thing. But he fell away from God. And he's crying out, my son, my son. It seems he wanted his son and sons, and he wants you and me. It was written for us to spare you from hell tonight. Number one, Solomon wanted youth to know what it means to be under the protection of their parents. You're here tonight and you have godly parents. What a blessing to come under that protection in your life. To seek advice from, to ask them, to seek their advice. Yes. Number two, Solomon wanted youth to know wisdom, and that is to fear a holy God. You know, that should be every father and mother's desire, for your children to find the truth in a holy God. Number three, Solomon wanted people not to secure somebody else's loan, which we read a little bit about. I won't talk much about, a little bit about finances. Finances wreck many a marriage. Yes, they do. And in our day, in our area anyway, I mean, when land is 20,000 an acre for farming and on and on, and a lot of homes are going for $1 million now. There's a plain couple that is putting up their home for $940,000, just an ordinary bungalow, perfect condition, but less than an acre of land. How can young people afford that? How can anybody afford that, really? I mean, we're getting so much into debt, and when I'll say this yet, before I forget it, that if a young person can't get his car payments made before he marries, he has a problem. Yeah, either the car is too big or too expensive or whatever. And ladies have to remember, what are the finances? Because that will hinder you down the road tremendously, more than we care. We say, oh no, our heart isn't attached to it. It still comes in handy, though, as we marry, you know, to live. It does. Very practical. We have to keep these things in their proper order to keep youth pure tonight and everybody else around. And I want to say this. What is needed for youth to keep from fornication is also needed to keep married people from adultery. Yeah. That's right. They go hand in hand. And oftentimes, the person that commits fornication has a tremendous problem after marriage with adultery, too. Marriage doesn't solve a lot of things if the heart isn't changed. My son, remember that tonight. My son. The cry goes out, my daughter. And parents, are you awake tonight? Are you awake tonight? Proverbs 6, verse 23 to 29. It's written in here, for every person to understand in a very simple language, which I will not enlarge on, but it says this way. Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And to keep them from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, and neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulterers will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. And we could go on reading there. People say tonight it is the men The men are all the fault. You know, with all, you know that Kavanaugh deal you had down here and so forth. I don't know what is all truth there. But when it just comes up in election time, why didn't they do it 30 years ago, you know? And I'm not batting one way or another, but we have to know, and these things are happening in the churches, and they're splitting churches. And women are oftentimes doing it. And I mean, we can't allow cover up, God forbid. You know, I know some people leave our Mennonite circles and they say, oh, the Mennonites, they're all immoral and ungodly and whatever else. And hey, we don't know what all the other churches are doing because we're not with them. We have enough work here, you know, to be above board and to live according to the Word of God. And that's where the challenge is for all of us. The Scripture very clearly teaches that women are just as bad and as men when they are immoral. A man cannot lead a sensual woman, but you can leave, and you better see this in your courtship days already, if the lady you're courting has that kind of a spirit. That's right. Because if she is flirting with different men while you're courting, it finally means she'll also flirt with different men when you're married. Because marriage does not stop the flirting spirit. It doesn't. It doesn't. I go to different churches and I can see the flirting spirit among our plain people. Indeed, it's shocking. A few questions here. In verse 27 and 28, question one, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Another question, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? We know the answer, but each person has to answer these questions himself. The youth, the courting couples, older singles, married. Unless I forget tonight, I understand there's some older singles here tonight. And God bless the congregation that has older single youth among them. Yeah. They're oftentimes forgotten. Sundays, married people invite them into your home. They have the same struggles to work through as anybody else. To find the will of God. Reach out to them. And that is my heart. I was a little older when I got married. And thus I always have a heart for older singles. I do. We love you. And make it easy for them, the rest of you. They're part of the brotherhood. Make them feel part of it. The other side of the flip coin is I can be invited for Sunday lunch and I don't want to go. You know, I'll go on home and, Brit's around there and nobody likes me. Well, then it's your problem. Then it's your problem. Yeah. But a young person that loves the Lord, he should feel part of the congregation, and he has to do his part too. It's a two-way street, but praise God. For young people, oftentimes, they can go in a moment's notice too. You know, help maybe with DRS, whatever it may be. They're more, they don't have the responsibilities as people that have children at home. And I realized some years ago, maybe when I was, 36, 40 years ago, I better not say too much, fathers, you know how old I am. But, there was more a stigma against single people. You know, if you're not married, you've got something missing. And I realize I may have that missing, but not all the single people do. But now they are more accepted, and praise God for that. Enough of that. Whether single or married, remember, The ultimate thing is to be in the will of God. In the will of God. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. I mean, that doesn't mean you have to be hunting 24/7 year round. No, no. What I mean is enjoy the Christian walk of life. There's many things, many lives that you can touch. But one thing for all of us we have to remember tonight, and that is we need to be pure. We need to be pure. Whether walking on coals or having fire in your bosom, the results are the same, and it won't heal with burdock ointment either tonight. We have this burdock ointment. You hear of it down here already? It's good stuff for burns. This is not talking about something that will be healed with burdock ointment. No. You need if you have ever been caught in this, it takes old-fashioned repentance to getting right with God and get covered under the blood to be free. And it's possible. Praise God. But tonight, my heartbeat is that every person can be kept pure, that they don't have to sow what they reap, because finally that's always the case. You sow what you reap, whether you're saved or not. There's always a reaping that goes with it. Let's get right to the point tonight, lest we pussyfoot around and you say, you don't get it. Hands off courtship. Yes. Kissing and petting is a no-no for a Christian courtship. And these things have to be settled on your first evening together by the two of you. Otherwise, your friendship better stop until you get to see the holiness of God. That's right. That's right. It's serious business. It's serious business. I realize a lot of preachers don't want to touch this anymore because we're looking off the world and see how they act. And tonight we can't afford one step in that direction. No, we can't. We can't. I want you to make it through with a glorious testimony. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. This time, this side of eternity or in eternity. My son, get wisdom. Get wisdom. The psalmist said in 26:2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins in my heart." And that should be our request before God. And maybe this is what you should request from each other. Examine me. Am I the man, am I the woman that God can put his blessing on? How is my integrity? Do I stand for truth? Am I pure and intend on staying that way by the divine help of the Holy Spirit? Don't do it on your own, friends, tonight. No. Number one, is my spirit compatible with her spirit, or vice versa? Do you both love the things of God? Can you talk about spiritual things? Are you sound in doctrine? And this is where it starts. For an example, is your girlfriend just wearing a headship veiling because the church enforces it? Is that the only reason she's doing it? You'll have a big problem down the road. Guess again, men. But if she's doing it because she's not under the law, it says it in the word, and that's good enough for her, then you've got something going to launch out on. Or, let's flip it over to this side. Is the man more interested in sports than being involved in the work of the church? Can he keep a job? Well, you might say, well, I'm all materialistic minded tonight when I say that. No, no, no. But a man that cannot keep a job, I've been around a little bit. And a man that is having, I don't know, 2-3 jobs a year, different ones, oftentimes his spirituality is likewise. And that's no... And understand me right tonight. There might be a handicap in that person or something like that, but an ordinary person, if he's flipping around, watch it. Watch it very close. Oftentimes, he flips around spiritually with it. Number two, how about the soul of you and her? The emotions. Are you a high when you're together and naturally? Are you on a high and the rest of the week? In your work clothes, you're a snob to your parents and your siblings. Courtship is to get to know each other better. And how they treat the rest of that their family is the thermometer of how you will be treated. Back and forth. Ooh. Yeah. Search it out. Search it out. Just read this yet. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Marriage changes very little about a person's character. Very little, but Jesus Christ will if we let him. And sometimes in the setting I was at, I used to drive horse and buggy until I was 29 years old. And they said, well, I guess he's getting married, he's growing up. Really? No, nothing to do with growing up, marriage. Tonight, we have to be born in the church. We don't grow in the church. Well, we grow after, right? Understand me. But we're born. We're born into it. Marriage may reform, but we need to be transformed tonight. Yeah. You know, a person might not be hunting. I'm just using that example because you know the language. A person, when he marries, he might not be going hunting every night. And that's good. The wife might appreciate that. You know, might reform, but he might not be transformed. You know, just an example. Number three, the body. You may have the most handsome-looking person you're courting. And every man should say that of his wife. Yeah. He's got the best person across the whole, 7 billion people, whatever. Rightly so. The Word of God says it is the inward beauty that is lasting. Proverbs talks about a ruby. Peter talks about a jewel that is rare, the hidden man of the heart. What you really are when you've been broken before a holy God. Most times these steps are reversed in the world and sad to say many times in the church on account of the results we see. Half of all marriages are breaking up. In Alabama, the state of Alabama, here a while back, there were talk of not issuing licenses anymore for marriage. Marriages don't last anyway, and man is marrying man, and woman is marrying woman, and so and a lot of people don't know what they are anymore, and other people don't know what they want to be. So why the hassle? And this is a sad situation for people across our land. I never dreamt that you wouldn't know what you are. I thought when growing up, I thought, yeah, it would be nice to be a girl. You know, help with the dishes, and you wouldn't have to be out there cleaning pig pens. You know, still a man. And praise God, I'm satisfied with that too. But you know, this is a perverted society. And that is why John the Revelator wrote those things that are without. It says in Revelation somewhere, it says they're those that are without. And it says they're without hope. It says they're without the bliss of heaven. It says they're dogs. And the whole list goes on. And the bottom line is they're acting like dogs too. no different. Yes, the world craves for the body first, and then the soul, and last the spiritual. But it'll never work that way. It'll never work that way, dear people. And ask the question, do you want a good marriage not only for a few years? Who knows, maybe only a few days. But what about 70 years down the road? Imagine living just for the body. You would never make it. You'd never make it. Today, the one you love, the one you would marry, she'll get wrinkles and vice versa. They may get lame. We have a neighbor that has Alzheimer's, a man. Already has it for close to 10 years, likely. He's a year younger than me. Completely out of it. Truly a test for her patience all the time, all the time. We could see why, Lord. Do we see the one you love is through thick and thin, you know, and he'll give you the grace to do it. And this is my heartbeat tonight for every young person, that you can step into marriage pure before God and each other and receive the blessings that go with it. Courtship varies from country to country and culture to culture, but one thing that can never vary is purity. Never. No matter where. No matter where. Some areas the parents do their picking. It may work at times, but parents can meddle with outward beauty or how rich and how poor the other family is, what they will get from a dowry. Those things are all carnal, finally. When we seek the will and the blessing of God for two lives, you know, that's what a lot of cultures are out there. I'm glad I could pick my own, That doesn't mean we push our parents out and not say anything about it and ask their advice. That should be good. That should be. It's a very important decision. Include your parents. Have that close relationship with them. And I also, and this one, I want to emphasize, it is for life. For life. I can't believe it. I mean, we had a young man in our older one already. His first wife died, and then he went and married a divorced woman. Grew up in a church as plain as yours. And his dad is in, parents are in Florida for the winter, and his dad flew up to his son's so-called wedding, which is not biblical. Friends, we have to know tonight where we stand on these things. We cannot afford to go to those places and make it look like we're okay when others are starting to live in sin. No. We can't go to those things. And that brings divisions in families. It brings bitterness. You know, oh, you're self-righteous. And the list goes on and on. But we have a book that we go by tonight. A book that we love, and we love the author of the book. Because as you follow the author of this book, it'll get you home. It'll get you home tonight. For an example, Romania. It's over there many a time already. They're courting young couples. They wouldn't be allowed out of sight from other supervision. And so the question may rise, and I'm not saying that is, that's good. But the question then may rise, you know, from a young person, are you saying I'm not mature enough? Or you don't trust me? You don't let me grow up? And, you know, on and on. But I think the heartbeat for those parents is that they have a pure courtship and ready to launch out to a lifetime of rejoicing and victory and sharing with your children the power to walk in purity in a messed up world. In a messed up world. Parents, are you awake tonight? parents should act also in a way that is becoming in public when their children are around, you know, in your home, you know. How do you act? You can show affection to your wife and your husband. You can say thank you and all those things, but there's also a time that the ungodly should not be enticed by your actions or by your undress. Purity is not enhanced in a car parked down some lonely side road or in a dark living room or late hours of the night. In fact, ministers' meetings don't even go well in late hours of the night. Neither does a pure courtship. I've sat already an hour in ministers' meetings and got late, 11 o'clock, and, you know, the spirit was asleep already, I thought. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. But it seemed we weren't making wise decisions, you know. No, we weren't. And, oh, yeah, we have to get through tonight. We have to get through tonight. And finally just push it through and to go home. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. Enough of that. Traveling together for long distances, just the two. It's not a testimony to the world because they would never believe you. They would never believe you. And neither is it a good testimony for the church just to have a couple going from here to out west or something to visit friends. Good to have somebody along. We're living in a life of selfies. Youth leaning over each other and into each other with no restraints. Friends, that's not good. When I see some engagement pictures, I have to say, really? They're not married. They're not married. Am I making it too practical tonight? No. They're not married. No. By the way, engagement doesn't give you any more rights than on your first date. You will talk about different things. Yeah, that's true. But remember, your friend, one or the other, is not yours to touch or to handle. They are the parents' property until marriage. You know the root word of selfies? It's self. Self. And this is another test. If your friend is sitting in the room with his boyfriends or her girlfriends, and all they're doing is this, no social talk with anybody else, that's like the way it'll be down the road too. Oh, not the first day, no. But I'm looking long haul. Self that has never been crucified doesn't want to be restrained in courtship, then neither will be in marriage. And mark these words. Look at the statistics, what is so devastating about impure courtship. You may rebel against your parents. You may rebel against the church standards. You may look at what other couples do and how they act from within or from other denominations. We were at a Romanian wedding. It wasn't a Mennonite wedding. It was a Romanian wedding in our closest city. And there they have wedding services yet. You know, it's not this 10-minute sermonette. Because recently somebody said it makes that a wedding yet too, you know. Maybe that's true. It doesn't last long. One preacher got up and he preached half an hour. Another preacher got up, preached half an hour. Another preacher got up and preached another half an hour. And, of course, they translated, and some were English. And I was extremely blessed by the word of God. And the one preacher, he looked down at this couple. He said, "If you have problems in your marriage," he said. He pointed right to them. He said, "It's because you already weren't obedient to the church to begin with." In a marriage service, let's get to the real part. You know, let's bypass those things. No. But it is so true. If you have not found submission under your authority and working and blending together in a church body and then figuring marriage is going to do it? No. The Word of God has this to say, and this will be the final verdict in 1 Corinthians 6. These are quite the words tonight. And again, I say this and I preach it because I have a burden. I love you all tonight. And I want you all to make it from here to glory. That is my heartbeat. And you can. You can. You can have all the provisions to get there without having to try to cover a lot of sin in life. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 20. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says here what the unrighteous shall inherit. The list goes on and on. It talks about fornicators, sexual immorality outside of marriage. The list goes on and on. Jesus' own words were, he that looketh on a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. And that goes for courting couples. It gives you no right to touch her or him in a sensual manner. Holding hands can become sensual with time too. Then you better stop. You better stop right away. And I talked with different couples that said they stopped. Play it safe. Verse 18, it says, flee anything that hinders your mind and body to not stay pure. Flee those things. Ephesians 3 to 6. I don't want to keep you late tonight. Ephesians 5, 3 to 6. But fornication and all cleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving us of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Very stern words. Your talk, your walk, your covetousness will bring a destiny outside of God. Verse 6, he says, don't be deceived. Tonight, what are you listening to? You know, is it the country western stuff? Is it the rock music? All those things will lead you to disobedience to the Word of God. That's right. If you're listening to those things, you'll finally also act them. The country western songs, running around with your neighbor's wife and all those things that they're talking about, we can't afford to listen to that, dear people. We can't afford to that. You'll become by what you listen to. That's how come the, oh, those four boys, let's see, what are their names? The Beatles, yeah, that's how come. When they came from Europe, they said, by our singing, we can control the world. And they were all nicely ties on, their suits on, and hair down to here, and the world soon followed them. Whatever they did, the rest did, and the Mennonite church followed them. I saw the hair come down, and the liberal Mennonite church, whoop, okay, down here, you know. It's easy to follow the world. Why isn't it easy to follow the word of God? But just want to make that clear. What you're listening to, that the books that you read, that romance books, friends, they have no place in our homes. Romance books. It leaves a picture that isn't real for marriage. Yeah. And then they read these books, and their mind is filled with these books, and finally they step into marriage, and they say, well, something's wrong. It must be the next person that can fulfill all these things. No. Be not deceived. No. These things will lead you into disobedience with the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-7, I don't think I'll read that, but the words are very clear in there. Abstain from fornication. Fornication. In verse 5, this is for every person, that your life is not a possession of lust. That's all you can think of and talk of and listen to and look at. And there are many people that are caught up with that. For such people, know not God. The rest of 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about the rapture of the church. So beautiful. But how come does it start in, at the start there, with also being prepared and ready? That's right. Unless you're ready, you have no hope of the rest to follow. That is the blessed hope for every child of God looking for the bridegroom. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. What a testimony for every young person here. If you're part of this congregation or wherever you're from, that if you have such a testimony of that, you're continuously walking and staying pure. That is what is building the church. 1 Peter 1:13-16. It also talks there of what manner of conversation, that means what manner of life you're called to live. That means your conduct. That includes modesty on both sides. Do you fit in where you are tender? You know, if your girlfriend is always pushing the lines, and you'll have problems in your marriage too. Yeah. Yeah. If your boyfriend is always pushing the lines, marriage doesn't change that. You need a change of heart. Change of heart. Some men like when other men whistle about their catch. I've seen it. You know, I'm just speaking plain tonight. But with modesty usually always goes flirtiness. Read Proverbs over again. And the results are spelled out in black and white. Prince William, the Queen's son, he was attracted to Kate by her immodesty. Again, if you say that your friend is flirting and has immodesty, others will also see that, not just you. Others will always also see that. And it doesn't stop with marriage. You know, this is serious business tonight. It doesn't stop with marriage, but it stops with a changed heart. Praise God for that tonight. In order for courtship to blossom, first to be born again. Otherwise, you will not know God's will. Are you prepared to court? Because it better be the, and it also, if you're preparing to court a girl or a boy, it should be the goal to marry. Well, you might say, well, I'm not going to get into that the first night. You don't have to. But if you don't like him enough to even consider that down the road, that is really what it's for. It's to find the will of God when two people are together. And we talked already about some of those things that are needed. Are you prepared to court? Because it better be the goal to marry. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Maybe some of you have experienced that. I don't know. But I think that's something that we have to be, the rest of the group has to be very sensitive to. You know, sometimes it might have been, we had a few young fellows at home that were courting, and all of a sudden it didn't work out. And I just talked to them a little bit. I said, Lord, just lean on the Lord. And now's the time to do those things, not when you're married. Now's the time to do it. But we as a congregation, as a brotherhood, should be very sensitive to those things, because those are sometimes deep pains, you know, that we don't all understand. And we don't need to know all the pros and cons of what went on, you know. But they just felt it wasn't the Lord's will. One thing we're called is to pray. Pray. Pray for those people. Stand by them. That's right. That's what a church body is for. Be sensitive. I heard of a Mennonite youth years ago, and he dated 20 girls. Sort of, you know, proud that he could get away with that. Nothing to be proud about. That isn't the will of God. Going around 20 girls, what's left for the 20th girl then? Has she all the good qualities that each of the other girls had one of or whatever? He'll never find the perfect one, finally, if that's what he's looking for. When I went to Pennsylvania as an old Lord or a young fellow, they wanted to set me up for a blind date. I said, blind date? I mean, give me a break. No, I want that. Go with a girl never met before? No, I would be too shy to begin with. Why do you talk with a person you've never seen? There, and you know, hopefully there's a snack. That might be the best thing about it. But no, I mean, that's not of the Lord. That isn't the will of God. Courtship is not the time to bring an unequal yoke together, like winning a Catholic over or being a counselor to iron out a lot of personal issues in the other person's life. Friends, look out then. That's not the time to do it. Get those things done before you come into courtship. That can be very touchy, can be very emotional. And it's just not good. In hoping that everything will work out. You know, oftentimes you're, well, I am courting, and so, she will change from her religion to mine then. You all heard that. No, it isn't worth the risk. I'm not saying it has never happened. It isn't worth the risk. You both have to be sound in the faith. Yes. To launch out right. Just a quick story yet of an un-Mennonite family. And their goals were very high standards. And they met at some Bible camp, and a girl and a boy, their eyes met, and I don't know if they saw butterflies or whatever, but they thought they would like to start courting. You know how it works. And so the girl always said her goal was, their family said, you have to involve dad. And so the girl went to her dad and said, this man would like to date me. And he said, well, I don't know him from Adam. No, you can't date him. I want to know him too. So the man met the young fellow, and he said, okay, I'm going to write you a letter. This was back when they still had to use a literal pen to write, you know, and postage work. And so the young fellow agreed. Okay. Dad fired letters to that young man. The young man fired them back. The father had tough questions, you know. A little humorous, tough questions. The girl didn't know what was going on. Would say, well, that isn't Mennonite way, is it? But let me finish. After about a year of this, the girl was hanging in limbo. What's happening here? The father gave that young man a plane ticket, fly in, meet his daughter. He was that impressed. First of all, coming under the rule of authority in their home. He was so impressed by this young man and what he believed in the Word of God and all these things, because he challenged him. What do you make of this? Young man was, he was willing to work 7 years if that's what it takes. Man bought him a plane ticket. Within a half a year's time, they were married with the blessing of God upon them. You know, wonderful. That's what I want for each one. Courting is to know God's will and each other's will for marriage, and will only be discerned if the spiritual is first and everything is kept pure. Friends will either draw us closer to God or further away from God. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, it's a very clear outline. And Lord, we thank you for these people that are courting in this congregation. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them in a very real way to know your will and to walk in purity and in holiness before you, to have nothing to be ashamed of. Oh God, bless them. Bless each older single here tonight and wherever they fit in life, Lord. Singles and I don't know if they're widows here or widowers or not, but Lord, each one, give them the grace. Give them the joy and the fulfillment in life to enjoy walking with you and call you that great comforter, the one that wants to lead us all home to glory. Lord, may this message be dear and near to all of us to help us to walk the narrow way, not because it's law, but because we love you, and you gave this word because you love us, and you want us all to get home. May your name be praised and honored and glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.